every part of it. Thank you guys for all the work you're putting in and for your giving. It just adds such a great value to our worship and just love it. It's so wonderful. Thank you for that. Well, for me, it felt like we went from fall to winter in one day. It was the weirdest thing I've had experienced in a long time, right? So I woke up. I won't tell you how many times I woke up during the middle of the night, but I got up. Finally, when I got up, and then I looked out the window because I'd heard it was coming. And I looked out the window, and I just thought, that looks cold. That looks cold. I'm not used to that cold. I know it's supposed to be coming in winter, but that was a little bit of a shock to the system. When my family and I lived in Michigan, specifically, I guess, in Midland, Michigan, which was about midway up the state. And in Michigan, if you've ever talked to somebody that's from Michigan, and you ask, and you talk, well, where are you from, right? You know, you typically would get, you get the hand. And it's because they'll use it, right, as the hand, like where they live in the state. Because you got the thumb in Michigan, and you got the mitten right down the lower peninsula. And if they're really, like, fancy, they'll give you, like, you know, the other part for the upper peninsula. But don't worry all about that. Anyhow, so for us, we lived in the lower peninsula, which meant for us, we lived about around in here, close to this area, okay? So we started out lower down here, then we moved north 2 hours. Anywho, so when we got our house in Midland, we were able to get a house at 3 acres of land, which was super nice. And it was right on the highway, so that wasn't as nice, but anyways, around it was trees. So you had this gap opening in the trees, and you could drive right through our driveway went through the gap in the trees, and then it opened up, and it just sort of did this sort of deal. And so around the whole thing was just trees. And it had a little drainage ditch on the back, and it was like, you go home, and it's like, this feels like I'm at a retreat, right? And then you see deer, and you see turkeys and stuff, and it was pretty cool. Well, come fall time, it's a blessing and a curse. It's beautiful, and then you got to do something with all the leaves. And so we had pine trees, we had just a variety of trees, okay? And so my kids loved it in the fall because, you know, Dad would say, hey, guess what we got to do? We got to pick up leaves, right? We got to bag them up. So they always loved doing that, and they still do to this day. We have a mature oak tree in our front yard, and we have 2 maples in the back, and we have Japanese maple in the front, and they love to put their leaves on the ground. And then we have neighbors that also have mature oak trees, and so we love to share with each other. The wind blows it, you know, and he's just like, would you please clean up yours? Because if you don't, they're coming to my yard. And so that's the way it goes. Oh, it's so fun. It's so fun. It's so fun. In the fall, I love it. It's one of the most beautiful times of year. I thoroughly enjoy it. In the fall, the leaves, they die off the trees and they fall to the ground in your yard, in your gutters, on your roof. Blow from your neighbor's yard into your yard and so on. And then they fall, and then there they are on the ground, and the leaves begin to sort of just dry up and wither and will turn from that pretty red or orange to that nice brown. And everybody loves brown, right? And so, yeah, it's good. Nothing wrong with brown. When we live a life of faith, there are leaves that must die and fall from our lives. Those dead leaves in our lives are obstacles, we might say, to grace. They are obstacles that hinder us from truly enjoying the bounty of God's good grace and living in the peace of that grace just all day long. And so I thought I would just take a moment to just get our thoughts to wrap around this idea of obstacles to God's grace. And I thought, when we think of obstacles, there's obstacles to our relationship with God. And some of those obstacles can be taking the Lord's name in vain. It may seem like an innocent little thing out of frustration or whatever, but to take the Lord's name in vain is to speak ill against God and to use it for a purpose it wasn't given to us for. And to do so is to hinder that peace with God. Taking his name in vain does not please the Lord. Refusing God's will, you know, not making time for God, ignoring him, rejecting his way. If you're being, you know, maybe disobedient to God, unbelief, you know, when you don't really want to believe the truth of God's word says this. Yeah, I know it says that, but you haven't seen my circumstances. That ain't true. That can't happen, right? Unknowingly alienating ourselves from God because of ignorance. God will not give me more than I can handle. So if what I feel God is, watch because I'm setting you up. So if what I see in front of me looks like it's too much for me to handle, then that can't be God's blessing and approval on it. So therefore, that can't be God putting that opportunity in front of me. And we go, well, the Bible says God won't put more on you than you can handle. Well, the Bible does not say that. What has happened is there is a verse in the Bible that has been taken out of context and misused to fit that point. That verse is in 1 Corinthians, and it says, God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but he will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it and not give in to that temptation. It's close, isn't it? You see how close it kind of is? But what we like to put it into, well, that's too much. God won't give you more than you can handle. Well, yes, he sometimes does. Why? Because you need grace. You need to know that you can't do it on your own, that your strength is in him, your power is in him, your help is in him, your hope is in him, your word, your truth, your spirit of encouragement, your peace, your rest. It's in him. It's not in what you see that you can do. It's in what he makes possible for you to do. And I'm out of breath already. And I'm just getting started this morning. Right? All right. So, but when we take that, well, God, this is not God's approval, stamp approval, because it's more than I can handle. That doesn't mean God is saying don't. And if we live with that perspective, we live in ignorance. And that ignorance, it unknowingly alienates ourselves from being able to experience the deep richness of God's grace through what he wants us to encounter with him. And something that may be really hard. That's a sermon in itself, I know. So I'll keep going. Pride. We're glorifying ourselves over God. We don't want to, well, we might say, God, this is your fault, and I'm not going to forgive you for that because that has caused me a lot of pain. And if you love me, you wouldn't let that come into my life, so therefore I'm not forgiving you for that. You should have known better, God, than to cause me this pain. Please don't ever do that. But unforgiveness with God, as maybe you can imagine, that hinders us experiencing the rest that comes with faith in Christ. Oh. What about obstacles that maybe hinder our relationships with others? Now, you probably aren't murdering anyone. Oh, please don't. But you may wish harm on somebody because they broke your trust, they hurt your feelings, they didn't think of you, and they were ugly and hateful, spiteful. I don't know if you ever run into people that may do that to you. And you just, you know what? It wouldn't bother me at all if you got hit by a truck on the way out of here today. Well, Jesus says, then you might as well have hit him and run him over with the truck. Because if you truly desire it in your heart, then you already committed murder as it concerns God. Addiction and abuse. It impacts grace, experiencing grace in your relationships with other people. Right? It doesn't have to be just physical abuse. It could be verbal, emotional, sexual, substance. It impacts our relationships with people and thus impacts us experiencing the good grace of God with other people. Maybe lying, speaking the untruth as though it's actually the truth. Gossip, probably never do that. Speaking behind other people's backs to slander them, hurt them, point out their shortcomings so that you can be in a position of truly, I'm better than they are. Oh, I didn't say that. You didn't have to. The fact that you put them in their place around other people, That's exactly what you just did. You elevated yourself over them by the things you said. And we are not to be prideful, but to humble ourselves amongst each other. Stealing, taking what's not yours to be your own. Coveting, refusing to be satisfied with what you have and trying to obtain it in unhealthy ways. Now, I am very much a proponent of working hard, cultivating good, the things that you have and that you can obtain for the glory of God. God's created us to cultivate good out of life. But when we begin to do that in a way that steps on people, steps over people to get there, treats other people in unhealthy ways so that we get what we want without regard for how it's going to impact somebody else, that's the kind of behavior that hinders our relationships with others and experiencing grace. Maybe laziness. You got some of the hardest working people I've ever known, so this doesn't probably apply to you, but for me, I can sometimes, I just confess it to you, can just be lazy and not be a good steward of the things that God has given me. Like, I'd rather just do what I want with what I got and not really promote cultivating good with the things that God has given me, because it's easier to just do what I want with the things I like. Dishonor, treat someone without respect or value or human dignity. Can I encourage you, never underestimate the power of holding the door for somebody when you go somewhere. You say, well, they should hold the door for me. Well, maybe. But just, what are the ways that you can treat somebody with value when you go out somewhere? And maybe they don't treat you with value. That's not the point. The point is, how do you treat them, right? What are the things that you do that help somebody see themselves as being respectable, having value, having dignity? Holding on to bitterness within ourselves. That hinders grace, the work of grace in us, when we are just holding on to bitterness. We are so mad. We are so hurt. We are so angry. We just cannot believe. I can't. And we just let that fester in us, right? And we find ourselves that at least a couple times a day we're thinking about it. It pops up in our head. Bitterness is an obstacle to experiencing the peaceful grace of God in our lives. Sometimes we need to get help with that. Yeah, you need Jesus help me, but sometimes you just need to get a counselor, even two, to help you. And say, I just need to help process this through. Why am I so holding on to this and I can't seem to get over that? That's okay if you need somebody to help you get through that. Sometimes we think we're strong enough. Oh, God can do it all, which he can. But God has also given us people to help us. I'm so glad you went to the hospital to get help when you were sick, Ben. God gave people gifts and strengths and wisdom to do that, and you're healing. And I praise God for you, Ben. And I praise God for Joyce, Diana's sister, and the journey that she's on of healing. And God is working a miracle in her life, and we give him praise for that. And there are others who God is doing great works. But you're utilizing people who have skills and gifts and talents to be able to help you. One of the worst things we can do is in our own, even sometimes spiritual pride. Say, I don't need anybody else. All I need is Jesus. Yes, but Jesus gave people gifts to help you. He made you part of a body. And the hand, as I point to my leg. Let me go back to preschool. Okay, Drew? Jeez. So, the leg needs the what? The arms, the feet need the hand. And y'all pay me for this. I don't know, but I'm just wondering. Not judging. So grateful, honestly. Don't be an obstacle to your own experience of God's peace and grace in your life. Just don't, okay? So, dead leaves. There are obstacles that need to fall from our lives. All right, that being said, Romans 8:8, if you have a piece of paper to take notes today, I want to give you some verses that you can take with you on this very topic that I'm talking about. So I don't have them on the screen today, a little technical difficulty on my part, and so I apologize for that. So I will give them to you, so if you want to write them down, you can. Or if you've got your Bible, you want to turn to these verses, you can do that. If you want to use your phone or if you've got the book, either way is totally fine. I want to take you first to Romans chapter 8, verse 8. Now, what I've done so far is I have talked about these obstacles in ways that have touched sort of you in an emotional way, in your memory, as you're thinking about it. But I haven't really rooted it yet in Scripture very deeply, and I want to start doing that now. So that's the transition we're taking. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 8, Paul gets pretty clear about this topic of sin in our lives. Romans 8:8, he says, those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Oh, I love God, but I still do whatever I want. Like, I believe in Jesus and the cross, but I just do whatever I want. It doesn't really matter because I believe. Those controlled by sin cannot please God. Sin and righteousness do not mesh in harmony. This is why Jesus went to the cross. Because they don't. Okay. The leaves have to fall so that new life can come forth on the tree. You can probably see where that's going. When those leaves are on the ground, I love it because it's like a collage of colors. I swore I would never have a yard with trees in it. And my last two houses have had a lot of leaves, haven't they? We've had a lot of leaves in our yard. God has quite a sense of humor, I suppose. It is what I would call a beautiful mess. It's a beautiful mess. And then you look at the trees, and they look barren. And you go, well, that's ugly. But yet, the full picture is a beautiful mess. Because you see, when you think of that tree lost its leaves, it fell to the ground. But it's going to grow new leaves. New life is going to come forth, if you will. Remember, this is not a perfect analogy, right? Metaphor for this, but let's work with it. Those leaves are going to come forth, and those leaves are going to take in, where's my science people? It's going to take in carbon dioxide. A process called what? Photosynthesis is going to happen. The students are going, ooh, I know that. It's going to happen. And then it's going to produce what? Now it's going to produce oxygen that's going to benefit the people and the animals around it. This is so good. The leaves are going to fall. The obstacles need to fall from our lives that by the grace and the power of God working in us, new life will bear forth from us and bless the people around us with what they need. Yes! It's so good. So, so good. That's why I couldn't resist this week. Death bringing forth life is the message of the gospel. It is your story as a Christian. Death bringing forth life. And so do me a favor, in your Bible, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 is where I want to invite you to go. And I want to actually, I'm going to break this down. We'll do it quick, but I want to break this sentence down. to see, if you will, in parts what it's saying. But I think it's very insightful. It's very helpful for me to do that. And so 1 Peter in the New Testament, chapter 2, verse 24. And I may be reading from a little different version than what you have, but no worries. Read what you got. It's all good, right? Just follow along here. Okay, so it begins. Verse 24. Peter writes, it says, he's talking about Jesus. He says, he carried in his own body on the cross the sins we committed. Pause. So he goes to the cross, he suffers death to take upon himself the penalty for sin, to pay the just requirement for sin, to do that in our place. Okay? Because the wages of sin is what? Death. So that's something all of us would have to pay. But he goes to this cross and he takes that death upon himself. He says, I'm going to take that for you. And that's my gift to you because I love you. For God so loved the world. There we go. Okay, let's go to the next sentence. He did this so that. Now, I promise you, this is not getting petty with words here. But he did this so that. Peter's going to tell you he had an intent in doing that. He had a purpose. Now, I've already sort of told that, right? Like, you're going to give away the surprise. But I want us to see that. That was not by accident. That was not just people in ignorance doing something that surprised and shocked the whole world and God. Mm-mm. Peter says, no. He did that so that, so God had a defined purpose. We might live in righteousness. We might live in righteousness. Now, I want you to notice, Peter does not say that we will live in righteousness. He doesn't say that we would live in righteousness, as though it's already preset and it's already how it's going to play out. That this is exact. No, that we might live in righteousness. For me, that's a very important word because it creates an ethical decision on the part of us. That we might live in righteousness. That we would see what's been done, why it was done, where we are at, our need for that, and in response to that, that we would choose to believe and accept and to live with gratitude for what Jesus accomplished on the cross for us, which is our salvation. He made us right with God, that we might live in righteousness, that we might live in a right, good relationship, life with God. But you're going to have to choose that. He's not going to choose it for you. For he who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, right? But you're going to have to call. He's not calling for you. You have to choose. He'll invite you. He will woo your heart. And he'll say, I love you. Come on. Walk with me. Find peace and rest in me. But he gives you the opportunity to choose. All right. Check it out. What does that look like? He goes on to say, having nothing to do with sin, by his wounds you were healed. Having nothing to do with sin. To live that life in a right relationship with God, to live in the good life with God, is that you would say, you know what? I choose to have nothing to do with that life of sin anymore. And he goes on to say, by his wounds you were healed. Do you know that we often think of the cross as bringing salvation? And you heard me say that word, salvation. That he saves us, right? Saves us from what? Death. Yes. Somebody said that. I heard that. Yes, saves us from death. But that word salvation also means healing. It has two meanings in there. By his wounds, you were saved. Yes. By his wounds, you were healed. By his life, his death, he has healed the brokenness within you through your faith. Not because of what you did to earn it, as you're reminding us, Carrie, thank you. not because of how good choices you have made, not all the good works that you have done. I won't God be so proud of me. No, it's by his grace we are healed. We are saved. He takes what's broken and makes it whole. He does what the world can't do for us. Peter puts that all upon God's shoulder. And says, God has given you the opportunity to no longer be helpless to sin's grip in your life. Because that's your story before Jesus. Romans 6:8 says that you have been set free from sin. That's our story. That's our story. I love it. We sang, then I repented of my sins and won the lottery. Won the victory. Y'all sing it better than me. Absolutely. So here's where the rubber meets the road. Because Jesus died for my sin, I choose to die to sin in my life. You go read Romans 6:11. That's exactly what Paul is saying to the church. Because of what Jesus has done through his own death at the cross. He says, when you look at that, here's what I need you to see. Hi, how are you, microphone? I need you to see that the power of what he accomplished through that cross means that a powerful work has been accomplished in you and is still being done in you. Every single day, God is working in you and working in you by his grace. And because of what he has done, isn't it right that we would not throw that away, but that we would take that and say, this is the mantle upon which I will hang my life. This is how I will choose to walk today. You ever see the old mob movies when the mob boss, somebody crossed the head of the family, right? And they would bring that person to the mob boss, and then he would say something like, you know, kind of thing. I cannot do that Italian thing. I wish I could, because it would have been much cooler. It says, you're dead to me. And then when I was thinking of the way Paul is talking about, you die to sin, right? That's the essence of that. That when I think of that, you're dead to me. I'm trying, but it's just not getting there. So I'm just going to quit. I'm wiping my hands of it. Remember in Scripture when Jesus is standing there and Pilate wipes his, he says, I find nothing wrong. And he takes him, what's he do? He washes his hands and he wipes. He's saying, I'm standing, I have nothing to do with this. I'm not associating with this because this is not right. These obstacles to grace are not right. I am washing my hands of them and I'm pushing them to the side. I'm done with it. However, remember the old, can I talk about pop culture for a second? How many remember the old saying, talk to the hand? How did that finish? Talk to the, that's right. Oh, I should have, talk to the hand because the ear ain't listening, right? Which that, I don't care what you have to offer me or to tell me. I ain't listening to it. And then a bit more current has probably been, you've probably seen it on Facebook and Instagram and all that kind of stuff, which was, not today, Satan. You see those memes, right, as you go, like, not today, Satan, right? I ain't doing that. Right, yeah. Well, I love this. That attitude, it's a spiritual attitude. Don't let it be a cocky attitude. Don't, because that's where it gets you. It really needs to be a heartfelt, I ain't doing this no more. Now listen, watch this, because I have died to sin's influence over me because I die with Christ in his death. I'm now alive to God's Spirit in me, and I will live for Christ in my life. Who I was is not who I am because God is growing a good work in me. I'm not the same. I'm not going to go back to the old because I've been made anew and I'm being matured in Christ, developing in Christ. The choice is mine, and I choose Jesus. I want him to be the voice of truth in my life, not the lies of selfishness, pride, and greed, and on and on and on. That list went. I know I'll be tempted by these obstacles, by these leaves, dead leaves. I know I'll be tempted by those things. But I'm choosing to wipe my hands of them because I know that God's goodness is not in them. And if God's goodness is in me through the work of Christ, then I don't need to mix it with the sin that can so easily entangle and ensnare and trip you up, confuse, lead you deceptively astray. It has a power to do that. But we sang today the gospel that says, sin was strong, but who's stronger? Jesus! Absolutely, absolutely. So how do I then take that and put that real, like, rubber meets the road again, super practical into my life? Well, I'm going to bring something out that I had a few weeks ago, and I just can't seem to let go of it, and it's this. Pray what? We don't have to do the whole thing again. Pray what? God, guard and guide my words, my heart, my attitude, and my thoughts, because I know that those influence my actions, and I want my actions to glorify you. Pray. When you start your day, God, guard and guide my words, my heart, my attitude, and my thoughts, so that those things will influence my actions today, and that the world will see you in me and through me today. That when I speak, they'll hear words of godly wisdom. That when I act, they will see a presence of godly wisdom coming through my decisions. When they hear the tone of my voice, they will hear that of peace and not orneriness. When they hear me talk about my day and my events, they won't just hear complaining. I gotta learn from this one. They won't just hear complaining, they will hear a trust in the one who is greater than my problems. Because I don't want to point people to my problems, I want to point them to the one who has authority over my problems. That God be glorified, right? That's the essence. So I have to point people to the one. I've got to point them to the power of Jesus. So when a great thing happens in my life, what do I say? Glory be to God. Did I work with God in that and a great thing happened because God and I worked together? Yeah. But I'm going to defer to say, you know what? Glory to God for that. And I'm grateful I got to be a part of what he just accomplished. People say, Pastor, that was a great sermon today. I was like, were you listening to the same one I gave? Don't have to reply. I say, well, praise God for that. If you've said that to me, you've probably heard me say that in response to you before. I say, praise God for that. I'm grateful God was able to use a poor sap like me. Thank God for that. And if he spoke a word of wisdom that touched your heart and shaped you today or whenever you hear it, man, that's fantastic. Because that's the goal. Because his word will not return void. It will accomplish the purposes for which he has said as it goes forth. So when that word goes out, the Spirit of God can touch your heart and your mind and reshape you. Not Andy, but God. And I'm so grateful for that. So ask God to help you daily and welcome his encouragement when you read the scriptures. Yes, read the scriptures. You need to get into the word. If you're not reading the word on a regular basis, you need to start. So where do I start? No, you can start anywhere. But if you really don't know where to start, perhaps the Gospel of Mark would be a great starting place to just start reading. Read about Jesus. If you start with Jesus, it's hard to go wrong. And then you can expand from there if you want. But just start reading and get in there. And when you don't understand something, go ask somebody. Be careful what you Google, right? What's become a synonymous term for search the web. You know, go Google it. Be careful. But ask for help. Welcome his encouragement when you read the scriptures. He will encourage you. If you feel beat up and shameful when you get done reading the Bible, you didn't read it with the presence of God. You read it with some other presence, because that's not what God does. Now, he may convict you in sin, and you feel healthy guilt. That can be God, because that's what the Spirit does. But he won't leave you feeling shameful. That's not the way it works. The world's quick to do that, to put you in your place, but not God. He loves you. He wants to build you up, because you're priceless to him. Don't ever forget that. And number three, trust the Lord to come through at the right moments. I love the old adage. What is it that, God is hardly early, but he's never late. He's always what? Right on time. So you got to trust God in his timing. Trust him to work for your good at the right moments. All of that being said today, right? I'm going to end with Romans 6, 12 through 14. And you can either read it or you can listen along. So then, don't let sin rule your body so that you do what it wants. Don't offer parts of your body to sin to be used as weapons to do wrong. Wrong against God, wrong against others, wrong against yourselves, right? We covered that under the obstacles. Instead, present yourselves to God as people who have been brought back to life from the dead. And offer all the parts of your body to God to be used as weapons to do right. Sin will have no power over you. Listen to that. Sin will have no power over you. Well, I can't help it. Sin's just too strong. I'm just gonna sin. Well, whatever. No! Don't do that. Don't say that. I'm not trying to be like a parent, you know. That's not God. That's not the scriptures. Sin will have no power over you. Don't start your day hopeless. Don't start your day already behind the eight ball, as they say, right? Like, don't start your day that way. Don't start your day weak. Start your day strong. Don't start your day in ignorance. Start your day in the truth. Don't start your day hopeless. Start your day as one who is helped by God. When you start your day that way, it's amazing how it impacts the way you see your day moving forward. So God, guard and guide my words, my heart, my attitude, and my thoughts, because they are going to influence my actions today. And I want them to glorify you. So I'm going to have to walk in the truth of the victory. Victory in Jesus. You have the power of God in you and available to you to help you live in wisdom and strength, to see sin as sin and say no to sin and yes to living in the good life with God daily. If you believe in Christ, and you have put your faith in him, and you have accepted what he's accomplished for you on that cross, that is your story now. That's what he's given to you. That's what you have available to you. It's the choice you get to make every single day. You can choose by the power of Christ in you to say, I die to sin again today as I start this day, and I'm woken up. I'm going to live for Christ today because it is my choice. And God will enable me to do that today because he is with me. He hasn't forsaken me. He is a mighty force within me. He is the truth within me. I know that when I see and what I hear and what I experience today, that God is able to help me to overcome any temptation that I may want to throw shade on somebody or something. That I may want to be hateful or ugly. You know what? I don't have to be that way. I'm going to choose to die to sin and live for Christ today, for I know that is a life of faith for which Christ has made possible for me by his death and his resurrection. As he has been raised to a new life, thus too by my faith, I have been born into a new life, and I am not my old self. And so I'm not going to live that old life. Amen.